Good afternoon, everyone. It is our September edition of PMC Live. I'm Angela Denning. We have this show the first Thursday of every month. KFSK checks in with leadership at the Petersburg Medical Center to see what's happening over there. Today, I'm joined on a conference call by CEO Phil Hofstetter, and we also have PMC's newest doctor joining us, Dr. Kayla Lures. So perhaps today we can start with a general check-in with you, Phil, and then jump into learning who the new doctor is. So could you give us kind of a general check-in and what's happening there at PMC?
Thank you, Angela. It's been a while since I've been on the KFSK PMC Live version. And I think there's a lot happening here. And I almost want to ask the question back and say, what do you want to know? Obviously, we do have a new physician we're very excited about. And Dr. Lures, I want to thank you for taking the time out to be on the radio. I do want to have I do have an announcement for PSA. Is that okay to do that?
Of course, yeah.
With the most recent item, and this is something where at our airport testing, it turns out the contract we have with one of our labs. Commercial labs, Northwest Pathology, not because of PMC, but because of a registration error on Northwest Pathology. Some people coming and getting a test are getting a bill and they should not. So it's a technical issue with the commercial lab and statements are being sent to patients. If you received a statement from an airport COVID test from Northwest Pathology, please do not pay it. If you have questions or need more information, call the Medical Center Business Office at 772-4291.
Okay, that's an important message for listeners to know in case they get a bill in the mail.
Yes, that's the last thing we want to do.
So just the last time I think we talked a little bit about the financial situation at PMC and the fact that COVID has caused losses in revenue there, which has, you know, kind of been an ongoing issue. Any news about that?
Well, there's a couple of things. There's a lot of things occurring on that front. And, you know, from me, from my perspective, there are a number of things. One is the CARES Act, and there's a subsidy of sorts to help with lost revenue, which we have been able and fortunate enough to obtain. Obviously, that's only going to last so long. And so what we have to do is position ourselves and evaluate, number one, what's happening right now. So we have to direct our immediate needs towards COVID response. And that's our number one priority. The second priority is related to access to care. And to do that appropriately, we actually have to look at not just, you know, existing care that we've done in the past, but new kinds of care models. And those kinds of things are related to telehealth, for example. Those things are related to forms of case management where we're reviewing information or our primary care clinic is doing more outreach. Those are things you know, having to spend more time with patients because it's not as easy to see volumes in the clinic. And so our home health agency has tripled in census and looking at what does that look like for long-term sustainability and then assessing the mental health and behavioral health needs from the pandemic, and how are we going to be able to help assist those services and demand for the response. And, you know, the list goes on as far as what I'm really evaluating is not just the response, immediate response with COVID, but also what is the future of health going to look from a rural facility, from Petersburg Medical Center, and how can we position ourselves to be an economic strength in what I anticipate to be a pretty disastrous financial outlook in the next few years. You know, a lot of the response and funding that's available, I you know, we're trying to capture as much as possible, retain onto as much as possible, but also invest in some of these potential growth lines as well. And so it's an interesting time. It's a very challenging time. But we have been very fortunate to have some subsidy to help with having time to plan out some of these things.
Okay, yeah, it sounds like a long-term outlook there. And one thing that PMC has invested in is a fifth doctor, right?
That's correct. Yes. Yeah, so just a little backstory on that. And you know, one of the questions is that's a five physicians in a small community is a great access model, in my opinion. There's a couple of things historically. There's been a fairly stable group of physicians, and historically it's been about four plus a PA or an advanced nurse practitioner. And so our nurse practitioner had left earlier during the pandemic, and the family was Coast Guard, and they had been transferred. And so that left us with a vacancy. It also left us with, at the time, a great sense of concern with COVID. You know, there was a lot of uncertainty with COVID. We weren't sure how it's going to hit the medical center. We were asked to completely lock our doors early on. And we were very fortunate to have Dr. Lures here from Juneau just as a locum physician, which is a independent contractor physician. And she's been to Petersburg before and is familiar with Southeast. And during that time, you know, we had access to care issues, but we also had, more importantly, issues where we were concerned with if a physician gets exposed and with COVID, for example, if they're treating a patient and they're immediately put out under quarantine, and then, you know, we only have a limited pool of physicians, and to the concern is how are we going to provide care in that scenario? And so it was sort of dual effect of an opportunity and also an effect of need. And even prior to COVID, if you look at access to care, for example, how long it takes to get an appointment, that need hasn't been met. And when we look at things like, you know, you look at appointment slots, like standards are certainly things like third next available appointment. So if you look at a scheduling book and you look how far ahead does it take to have an appointment, they're pretty far down the road for some physicians. You can come in and do walk-in, but you couldn't do scheduled follow-up appointments that were sometimes quite a ways out. And that tells me there's a higher demand in the community. So looking at that and assessing that from a business standpoint, the demand is there. We just have to figure out ways to support that and also be able to build that out from an access model. And then tying in COVID with that is a complicating factor.
Yeah, I know we've talked about clinic wait times in the past as something to address. So is this position then, it's a contract position. Does that mean is it permanent?
No, so what we did is you know and you know I'll let Keila speak for her background a little bit, but as an independent contractor initially, and then what we decided was to post for a position. And you know, obviously we posted for a fifth position, and Kayla was interested in the position, and we obviously she applied and interviewed for the position, and then now as a full-time employee, so not an independent contractor anymore, but there was a transition time for that. But so we do have a full-time FTE or a full-time equivalent physician, and there are five physicians at PMC. And you know, again, we're still standing up our COVID tent. I almost, in some ways, count this as a COVID physician because there's a lot of need when we're looking at physician requirements to reviewing lab orders, physician oversight on respiratory clinic, and those kind of issues and things related to COVID is certainly the need is there for that, in addition to having some depth to our physician and also providing some relief as well.
All right. Well, let's get Dr. Lures on. You know, we have Lure without the S here in town. There's a family, but your name has an S. We hear that you're from Juneau. So how long have you been in Southeast Alaska?
Well, I've actually been in Southeast Alaska my whole life because I grew up in Ketchikan, and went from there to college and medical school. And after a residency, I actually chose a residency that specifically trained for rural places with the idea that I would be coming back to Southeast Alaska after that. And so I arrived back in Southeast after all my training in 2018. And as Phil kind of alluded to, I've been known as sort of the fill-in position. I've worked in Juneau, I've worked here. I've traveled around and just provided relief coverage for different physicians. But with COVID kind of limiting travel, it also made sense for me personally to maybe hunker down a little bit and stay in one place. So the timing really worked out well. And Petersburg Medical Center is one of my favorite places that I have covered. I've always enjoyed working here, so it felt like a really good fit.
Okay. Well, besides PMC, what do you think about Petersburg?
Well, I feel like it's not as wet as Ketchikan. So I feel like the weather is pretty okay. I have a dog and we're loving the trails. The quick access to the trails and the beach really helps our mental health. I think I love being outside. And the people have been so kind. I can't even count how many meals I've had dropped off on my doorstep. And I would say that's my very favorite way to be shown appreciation. So I've felt really good in my transition here.
Well, it's remarkable if you're saying that it's not as wet as Ketchikan, because we've had a record summer of rain here. But if you look at the numbers, I guess technically we don't have as much rain.
Right. Probably the only one that's okay with that.
Can you tell us a little bit about your style as a doctor, if you have one? Can you, describe how you like to be a doctor?
Yeah, I would definitely say I enjoy variety, and I appreciate that about Petersburg Medical Center, that I get to be in the ER and get to take care of patients when they have acute needs. But then I also get the follow-up of seeing them in clinic. And I think this is kind of a unique situation where as a general physician, you do get to follow patients in the hospital, in the ER, in the clinic. And I really like that. Developing relationships with people and really learning about their own goals, learning about their goals and getting to know them. Sorry, my phone's ringing. That I get a lot of satisfaction from that and seeing people over time. I have a specific interest in sports medicine, I would say. I've been in the medical tent in Kona for the Ironman a few times and really enjoy that. And I have a slight propensity toward nutrition as well. I like using food as medicine. And I think that can be a nice adjunct when looking at the whole picture of someone's health.
It sounds like a holistic approach.
Yeah, I would say that. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I could ask this question to either of you. So you coming on board as the fifth doctor, that means that we have here in Petersburg four female doctors and one man. We have Dr. Hess, Dr. Heyer, Dr. Burt, and yourself, all women. And then Dr. Tosillo is the lone man. And I was wondering if that might be considered unusual for a small town or just anywhere in general.
Can I comment on that one?
Of course.
So here's my perspective. From an employment standpoint, there's no way that we can actually look at gender in that way. We look at from a normal application, and is someone qualified to do the position? So that's not something that from a facility that we would necessarily be able to take into consideration. Nor I've kind of strong feelings about that. If someone's qualified to do the job, then someone's qualified to do the job. I understand that there's some different points of view on that, but I just want to make sure I mention that.
Okay. Yeah. And then I guess in your experience as a doctor, Dr. Lures, would you say that it's from what you've seen at other hospitals? Does it seem unusual to you?
It's not too unusual. I think females just flipped the balance of admissions into medical school. I think we're maybe 51 or 52%. And when you look at what specialties we tend to choose, family medicine, pediatrics, and gynecology tend to attract more women. And since this is this rural place and really requires a full spectrum of training that would be family medicine. So I think just looking at the numbers, I'm not too surprised. My sister just graduated from residency and is a physician in Juneau, and she's one of the ones that came and kind of booted me out of there just a little bit because they don't need as much coverage now that she's there. And so I would say, and I have another sister who's also a family doctor, and then my two brothers are both specialists. So they're also physicians. So I would say in my family, it plays out kind of the same. All the females are family doctors. And then again, my brother's one's a urologist and one's an internist. So kind of interesting.
Yeah. Your parents must be very proud.
Yeah, they are.
Well, that's interesting about, the number of women going into the medical field and into becoming, you know, doctors, like you say, it just maybe is over 50% now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so.
All right. Well, I know you both have commitments probably coming up here soon. Is there anything that you wanted to touch on or add that we haven't talked about?
I don't know, Dr. Willis, do you want to talk about some of your ideas with the group groups situations and groups group medical patients?
Yeah,
and
sure.
I thought that was kind of an exciting in some of the special interest physicians, as many providers in rural Alaska and rural areas in general, have an opportunity to kind of look at something that they're niched or specialized or have an interest in. And it's nice to have physicians, they have the ability to develop that under their scope. And for example, we have acupuncture here with one of the physicians. That's a sort of a specialty area. And Dr. Lurs has some interest in. Take it away, Dr. Lurs.
Yeah. So one thing that I really like is meeting in groups as a way to promote healing and promote wellness. And I think this can kind of help us fill a gap in coverage, because when you come to a class or come to what I would say is a group visit with a physician, you can spend like maybe 90 minutes with your doctor having face-to-face time, getting education, learning about either an illness or preventive medicine, nutrition, stuff like this. And it can be really efficient and effective way to share information. And we also have studies showing that when we meet together in groups, we can have better outcomes than just meeting with people with one-on-one, or having that be your only way of receiving care. And so that was part of my education during residency, and it's something I continued to do in Juneau. I provided some classes and some group sessions, and it was always received really well by my patients, and I'm excited to maybe get some of that stuff going here, with the caveat that we're having the time of COVID right now, so we're not meeting in groups as much. But I'm working with Phil, and we're kind of putting our heads together and thinking about how we might be able to roll out some of those things. And I'm excited to hear from the Petersburg community and from my patients about what topics or specific health education might interest people. So yeah, that's something that I really enjoy.
Yeah. Could you give us an example of maybe some of the groups that you're talking about? Because I think just on the surface, it seems like, well, it's so private when you go see a doctor, you're in the room and sometimes you're wearing a robe or that kind of thing.
Absolutely. So one of my most popular group topics would be women's health, and specifically working with having a body that has cyclic hormones. You know, I think for women, the bodies that we live in from day to day, especially when we're cycling, can have a lot of changes, and that can have produce symptoms and different things in your body that we're just not taught about. Like that really wasn't part of my health education in high school. I felt like it was missing maybe just a little bit in medical school, even just what that felt experience is like, and how that can kind of permeate into other areas of your health. So women's health, and I call it from loathing to loving your hormones, understanding your 28-day body clock. That's been a really popular one in the past. Another one is that I like to do is understanding good digestion and working with people who have maybe symptoms of this diagnosis we call irritable bowel syndrome. I think that can be kind of a frustrating diagnosis for people. And so meeting together and just getting more information in depth about how your digestive system works and the timing of these things and the way we break down different foods and nutrients and how that and the downstream effects of that. I think getting a deeper understanding through education and classes can just give people more tools to kind of figure out like ways to deal with that one. So other ones that I've done, I did lead a pregnancy loss support group in Juneau. So that's a little bit more self-explanatory, but I find that that's a pretty common occurrence, and I don't always feel like we have, it's not something we talk about a lot, and that can be kind of hard emotionally for people and have downstream effects, not having a place to share and kind of discuss those, what happens with that. So that's another one. And then diabetes is one more. That it's going up in the United States. More and more of us are getting diagnosed with that. So having good support on how to manage that disease, I think can really lend itself well to group support.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And like you say, having a 90-minute session with some others and having a doctor there for that amount of time is kind of much more than your usual clinic visit, which is much shorter.
Absolutely. And I think we learn so much from each other, and other people maybe think to ask questions that is a question for you, but you didn't even think to ask it, you know, those kinds of things. Like, I just feel like the learning can be really robust.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for telling us about that. That sounds pretty exciting. Phil, do you have anything else to add?
No, it's exciting to have Dr. Lures here, you know, and I just want to make one more comment about overall in our clinic. You know, one of the focuses, even pre-COVID, and then, you know, everything is in reference to COVID these days, but pre-COVID and now is also looking at things as more of a patient-centered focus for health and for wellness and for care and access to care. And that typically involves things such as, education and opportunity. Like Dr. Lures was saying, it also indicates, things where we're able to do more outreach to patients, do things like case management, make sure that people are able to get in for their prioritized patients if they have complex diseases. And those are things under a patient-centered approach, and we're trying to make sure that we're increasing our vigilance in that and improving that kind of care in the long term. And, you know, the idea now with COVID, one reason that it comes up a lot is like, you know, we're tasked very difficultly to not just pop into the clinic and have an appointment, and it's hard to get in. So we have to sort of prioritize the patients that come in and the physicians that prioritize that patients coming in. And that is something that a patient-centered medical home, as it's called, a patient-centered approach, is something that you would do normally under that process. It's kind of a difficult process to undergo, and it takes a little bit of time, but case management's key on that. Scheduling is involved in it. And obviously the physician hierarchy is involved in it as well.
So it almost sounds like COVID is giving PMC an opportunity to pursue new avenues.
You know, that's the way I look at a lot of things. Yes.
So. Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much, Phil and Kayla, for joining us today. And if anybody missed the conversation, we will be posting it on our website, kfsk.org. We have a list of PMC Live past shows there. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Angela.
And I will turn it over to the studio. I'm sure it's going to be the Street Beat show coming up.